But you notice with movies, they always have like that rim light. Every scene, no matter where they are, I'm like, how do you have a rim light in like you're in a car, you're in like an elevator, you're in like a dark room, but there's like a rim light behind you. Where is that light coming from?
Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Photo Pros Weekly. My name is Brandon Heiss. I'm here with Olivia Tuttle. And on this show, we talk about photography sometimes, and we shoot the shit a lot of times, and we see where conversations go with some of the leading pros in our industry. And this week, we have the pleasure of having Darrell Hosching as our guest. Darrell, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
Things are going great over here.
Good to see you.
Yeah. I haven't seen you since...
Yeah, good to see you guys.
WPPI.
That was the first time I've seen you. That was like the only time I've seen you.
The only time
you weren't even supposed to be there.
Like, no,
you told me like, oh, I can't make it. I was like, oh man. And then next thing you know, like, I go in the room and Brandon's there. I was like, wait,
Darrell. I don't know if you know this about me, but I play hard to get. Sometimes I'll just pop in.
I noticed.
But so they finally let you out of Canada back in March. That feels like forever ago, right? Yeah.
How are things going?
So Darrell, for those people that don't know, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your background, where you're located, what kind of work you do, that sort of thing.
Well, I'm Darrell Hosching from Darrell Hosching Photography, photographer specializing in weddings, portraits, fashion. Specializing mainly in off-camera flash. That's my secret weapon. That's what I love doing. I've been shooting since 2009, and yeah, just been, going from there, shooting a lot of weddings. I started off doing more weddings and then, you know, portraits, fashion and so forth. I fell in love with like flash early, like super early, just looking at, when I first started, I would look at, you know, photographers and look at their work, and I need my work to look like them. I got to step my game up to look like them. So, back then there wasn't YouTube. I mean, there was YouTube, but there wasn't tutorials. There wasn't behind the scenes or any BTS stuff on YouTube. There wasn't a lot of, outlets to learn, you know, just photography. You know, people weren't really showing that stuff. So I was in, you know, Chapters, Indigo. You know, I'm in Toronto, so, you know, Barnes and Nobles or whatever bookstores you got, whatever big chain bookstores, you know. Yeah, I was at the bookstores, you know, sitting there for hours, just looking through all, you know, the photography books and, you know, trying to find a seat because, you know, those bookstore people like to hog those seats and they sit there for hours. So, you know, I'd find a seat and once I'd find one, I would just have like a bunch of books. And, you know, I could only afford to buy maybe one. So, you know, I'd sit there and looking through and just deciding which book to buy, which one had the most, you know, valuable information for me, you know, what I wanted to do. And, you know, I found some books, you know, and they had some behind the scenes images, which I thought was cool, you know, but they listed their gear, you know, the camera, the settings and the lighting. So I was like, okay, so they got this kind of camera, they got this kind of lens. They're using that kind of lighting. So I'd research it. I said, okay, so it's going to cost me that much because I wanted my stuff to look like these people, right? And I was wondering why isn't my stuff? I got the ideas in my head. So it was just a matter of like getting the right equipment, but not just getting the right equipment, but like understanding it. And that was just coming with experience too, you know, just reading a lot of books. And then slowly but surely, you know, more, you know, videos started coming on YouTube. You know, I was a big fan of, you know, Chase Jarvis and the F-Stoppers guys. So I was watching a lot of that. And, you know, that helped me, you know, learn, you know, the lighting. And I just got good at it. And people, how I got into teaching, really, people were just asking me a lot of questions. You know, you post in groups and people asking questions and then I'm just explaining and then slowly but surely, you know, you have like a following and now I'm like, okay, everyone's looking at me as a teacher. And then I kind of like teaching. I like being in front of the camera as opposed, you know, it sounds funny me being a photographer behind the camera, but I like being, you know, the spotlight in the center and stuff. So that's kind of how I got into it.
So are you a one take wonder when you get in front of those cameras and the lights are on, you know? I mean, we work with a lot of people, you know, with Westcott University and the YouTube page. And I always tell Olivia, some people have it. That's like, we call them the one take wonders. And we know that we can probably do 8 videos in a day.
Yeah.
And then there's some, which at no fault to them, because I'm the same way, but there's some who like need to do 6 takes, and it's, you know, you can only do 2 videos that day.
It's funny. I did, I was with another photographer, and, he's, he got a blue check mark. We'll just put it that way. You know, he's a big time photographer, and I was with him, and, I was doing a little video, and I kind of introed the video. And to me, it was nothing. I just said, hey, what's going on? You know, blah, blah, blah. I got my man right here, you know, and just like that. And then after, he was just like, yo, how did you just do that in one take? Like, because he was like, yo, I fumbled. It takes me like 30 takes to do what you. And I was just like, that was nothing, man. I didn't even think about it. I was just literally just off the top freestyle. I just do it.
Yeah.
Because I guess I'm so used to doing it. I'm introducing myself so many times in my YouTube videos and so forth. So it just comes second nature, you know what I mean?
For sure.
So I guess I am a one-take wonder.
You're a one-take wonder.
Don't be so modest.
He's got what it takes. So tell me a little bit about, obviously COVID, you know, I don't want to talk about COVID because nobody wants to talk about COVID 2 years later, but you know, obviously a lot probably transitioned to online during that time. There's no workshops going on. There's no, you know, PPA is not having things. Do you credit YouTube to how you got your notoriety, or where do you think you got your brand or your image from? Do you think it's just from word of mouth? Do you think it's mostly online and YouTube, or was it a different avenue?
Well, I was on YouTube before the pandemic. So I had my channel since 2017, I believe. So I was on it before that. And even before then, I had a live, me and another photographer, we had a show called Light Club. And this was before, you know, Facebook Live, Instagram Live. It was before that. We were on Ustream. And so we had Light Club. And every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, you know, we would just go on live and we would just talk photography stuff. We'd have different topics. So, I mean, I've been on the, you know, the media side for a long time. I think even my first BTS video was from 2011. So, you know, just
you're
being online and. Yeah. So I don't know about a trailblazer, but, but yeah, so a lot of people, I think definitely social media. And I think, you know, my personality too, you know, my personality is very just loud and wild and out there. You know, I attribute that to like people like Busta Rhymes and Redman and so forth. But yeah, my personality is just wild and out there. So I guess that, you know, accompanied with, you know, me being on YouTube or just putting out content and sharing content. And I guess people looked at me as a instructor, as a teacher, as a leader, you know, so. I guess it's a combination of things. I can't say it's just one thing. I think it's a combination of things.
Yeah. And I can speak to him being loud and out there. So just to let everybody know, at WPPI and really a lot of conferences, you know, after one of the show nights, they'll have like a vendors only, you know, get together, or speakers, vendors, that sort of thing. So while all the attendees are going out and gambling or getting drunk or going to the club, whatever, we just kind of try to get off of our feet because we've been standing on our feet all day. So I see Darrell from across the room. You know, I showed up on him at WPPI and, he said, Brendan, you know, do you have Jamaican in you? Cause it sounded like there's a little bit of Jamaican in your voice. Is that true?
Both my parents are from Jamaica, yes.
Okay, so I knew it. Because I went to Jamaica on my honeymoon, and I was like, this guy Copeland that we met, a local to Jamaica.
Copeland.
Copeland. I'm sure Jamaican. it's like Mike here in the States, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, Brandon Best. So this is a funny story. I promise I'm going somewhere, but on our honeymoon, we went to like a Sandals resort in Jamaica. And on the first night, they say, take care of your bartenders and they'll take care of you the rest of the week. And so we gave Copeland like, I don't know, a $20 tip or something. And it was an all-inclusive place, but we still, you know, he was fun, good conversation. So we give him a tip. I would be walking from my room, like back to dinner or back from dinner. we'd be walking by the bar the rest of the week. Brandon Best. And Copeland would be yelling my name. And so when I saw Darrell.
And you heard it.
And I had Brandon.
Flashbacks.
I was like, oh my God, this is that Copeland's brother? So,
hey,
but anyways.
Probably, man. Is it Copeland Hoshing?
Copeland Hoshing. I think it was. No. But at WPPI, we like to chill. And, you know, he had this loud, Brandon. And I was like, what's up, man? And the rest of the night, I felt like we were freaking laughing our asses off, probably disturbing everybody in the entire place. We cleared it out.
Well, here's the funny thing is I've never met Brandon before. We've only spoken on iMessage, really, and social media. So, you know, and speaking with Brandon, I'm always professional, you know, so I'm just trying to, you know, be professional. Every conversation we have, it's on a professional tip. So, you know, I don't know what Brandon's like. So when I see him, I don't know, man. I didn't know he was going to be there. So, like, I was not in a professional vibe. I might have had some substances in my system. So I was just, and that kind of magnifies the Jamaican-ness in me. So I might have been a little ultra Jamaican that night. So when I saw you, I was like, Brandon! I was
It brought back good memories.
Like, and then I saw how Brandon was, and then Brandon was like cussing. I was like, oh, he swears? I was like, okay, he's cool.
I don't swear. Don't say that.
Oh, no. So. Can we edit that out? No.
No, we're not editing anything. We don't edit on this show.
Except when you have to cut me out.
Except when I have to cut Olivia off for saying something stupid. So your parents are from Jamaica. Did you live in Jamaica, or have you always lived in Toronto?
Always Toronto.
Okay.
Born and raised.
Nice. Yeah, and it's how's the market up there? Is everything kind of bounced back?
What market are we talking about?
Just your customers. Sorry, I should have been more clear. Your customers. Is everything kind of back up? Everybody's out and about getting photography done. What's the call?
Oh yeah, it's coming back now. It's coming back now. Like at first we didn't know what was going on. You know, it was kind of scary. And then like my first two weddings I had two small weddings during the lockdown or whatever, or so slightly after the lockdown. I don't want to get anyone in trouble. but it was, you know, they were just small 2-hour backyard weddings. And I was just like, oh man, is this going to be the new norm? Like, you know, I wasn't sure what was going on, if people were going to have big weddings again. And so that was kind of scary. But, you know, as things started to open up, I don't know. I saw in the States, like all my friends in the States, they were still doing big, huge weddings. I'm like, man, you guys got COVID? Because I'm like, up here, it's like small backyard. These guys got venues with all. I was like, man, like, okay. So
it's open. It's the open air. Like,
yeah.
There was a loophole for a while. I had some friends in Chicago who, if there was open air, it was unlimited amount of people. Like if you were doing it on a rooftop, mm-hmm. like a wedding reception, for example. But if there's a roof and that COVID can't escape, you know, out into the elements.
But yeah, so things, you know, things are opening, you know, everything's open back up right now. So I'd say things are back to normal. I would say maybe 90-95% maybe, but like it's, you know, like
are
I just
starting,
had a wedding a couple of days ago.
Are you starting to travel more then, like with workshops too? And
I mean, I've only traveled twice since, you know, WPPI, and then I went to LA, but that was like really the only traveling I've done. But I got, you know, a couple more traveling to do. I got Florida later this year. I got Texas. I got where else do I got?
Are those workshops or are those customers or clients?
Workshops, weddings. So it's a bit of both.
What percentage of your work do you do in the States
versus
Canada?
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
I don't really do much in the States.
Okay.
Do you feel like this is a lot then? Because I feel like you rattled off a few.
Just, majority of my weddings are, you know, here in Canada, or, you know, I'll get like the destination wedding in Cuba, Mexico, DR, you know, Costa Rica, whatever. But for the most part, my client base is here. You know, I get a few U.S. Inquiries, whatever, friends and stuff like that. It's usually people that I know.
Good stuff. So what are your hobbies outside of photography? Because photography can take a toll on some people, and a lot of people need an escape. You know, what do you like to do in your free time? I know you got kids, probably enjoy spending time with them, but what are some of the things you like doing?
In my spare time, you know, I know this is going to sound cliche and corny, but I like long walks in the park.
At least it's not the beach.
We don't have any beach in Toronto.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you mean, man? We got beaches, man. What are you talking about?
What, lake.
But no, like I like hiking. Lake Ontario, man. Come on, man. I like doing hikes, you know. I like
Lake Ontario.
This guy laughing.
Come
at
on,
me.
Lake. My geography's off. I knew it wasn't Lake Erie because
yeah, that's
we're
the only
right
one
up
we know. It's the only one we care about.
It's like neighbors. Lake Ontario and Lake Erie are neighbors. This guy's like, I don't know my geography.
Aren't all of those lakes neighbors?
Michigan's over near Chicago. I mean, Great Lakes are pretty cool. I mean, if you think about it.
They're what?
They're pretty
the biggest
cool.
Lake.
Oh, they are cool.
The largest freshwater. It's pretty badass.
Yeah. I actually think I heard Lake Erie is one of the deepest lakes in the world, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I won't go on a boat in there anymore.
Well.
No,
one time.
And I'm black, you know, we don't play with the water like that.
Is that why you walk in the park? Stay away from the water.
Bada-bing.
Yeah.
I like doing hikes. I'm a big music fan, so I like music. I used to make music, you know, hip hop, rapping, making beats
and so forth.
So I still like making beats occasionally. I still like, you know, listening and to music and just, you know, analyzing, breaking down music and so forth.
All right, I'm gonna put you on the spot. Greatest rapper of all time.
Uh-oh. Come on
and
now.
Why is it not Tupac?
I didn't even answer. The greatest rapper of all time to me, if I'm going to say overall, all around, everything, I'll probably say Jay-Z.
Oh, okay. That's
probably say
bad.
Jay-Z. My favorite, Nas, Redman, Busta, you know, those are my favorites. You know, Wu-Tang, that's like my favorite group. But yeah.
You grew up in the 90s.
I grew up in the 90s. Yeah, man. I'm
that's how I can tell
so,
that.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Say what? I thought it was going to be somebody I had no idea who you guys would just hit it off about.
Yeah, so I'm a 90s. I like 90s, pretty much 90s everything. 90s movies. Actually, I like 80s. 80s action flicks. That's my jam. 80s, 90s action flicks. Yeah, that's I could watch those all.
All right, so Top Gun just came out a week or two ago. Have you seen, you've seen the original, right?
Long time ago.
Okay.
I don't even remember. I watched it on VHS.
Was like, there any other way to watch a movie back then?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm just letting people know.
Unless
that's
you were on
the
that you were on that Blu-ray shit before all of us.
Nah. You know, we had like, you know, the cardboard box that the VHS would go in. It was like all battered and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, mm-hmm. That was. But
go to Blockbuster.
What were you gonna say?
We have Blockbuster, or we had Blockbuster. I'm sure it was in Canada.
Yeah,
too.
We had Blockbuster too. Yeah.
So like Friday nights when you're about to go to a Blockbuster, get a movie.
That was seriously, my family would do that every Friday.
The best.
It was.
Sometimes you get two videos. Sometimes
Like
you get
deal.
A video game. Like Blockbuster.
Oh yeah,
on
yeah.
Friday
I'd get the video, rent the video game. Oh yeah, we were renting Super Nintendo, even PlayStation 1. Was it PlayStation 2? No, PlayStation 2 was a little bit later for me. I was too old for. I had a PlayStation 2, but I wasn't really too. I was more just a DVD player for me.
Yeah. Oh man, those were the days. I can like remember what it smelled like when you walked into a Blockbuster. And you go up, and there's only the picture, but there was no, like, it was sold out. Yep. That's how you know it was sold out.
Oh, yeah. You have the case.
But there were no movies behind it. And you were like, well, I guess I'll check it next week.
Oh, man, I would loop around the aisles going through the same. I looked at the same shelf like 8 times. And now I'm doing that on Netflix. I'm like, man, I looked at the same genre. It's re-looping again, man. It's the same thing. But the thing is, with Blockbuster, you had to watch that. Like, you watch, it's like, hey, I got this for 3 days. You need to watch it. Now it's Netflix. True. I started. I was like, I don't feel like finishing it. But, like, you rent that from Blockbuster, even if halfway through you're like, man, this is trash. But I'm still going to watch it right to the end because I paid for this, right? So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Netflix, sometimes I'll just click around for, like, an hour and a half and just watch all the previews. And, like, that'll be my entertainment for that night. Like, I'm like, all right, well, they all look kind of just okay.
Man, poor Morgan. She never gets an actual movie night.
She's doing TikTok all night.
You can go to my continue watching, and it's like, when did I watch this? It's like bad movies. The red thing is, like, at the beginning. Like, I just started, like, 2 minutes in the thing. I was like, oh, man.
No, when in doubt, I'll generally just watch like a comedian or something, you know, because that you can kind of watch that mindlessly. Oh, but
there's just like endless options now, though. Like, at least the movie store, that was all you had, and it's like, I'm going home with something. But now I feel like I want to look on Hulu and Prime and Netflix and everything. And
you know what I hate too? You know what I really hate? You look at a cover of a movie. And the cover looks so amazing, right? They got like the three light setup. You're like, ooh. They got like high speed sync. You're like, ooh. Like the sky's all dark. You're like, ooh, this looks good. And then you watch the movie, and I'm like, yo, did they film this on a Rebel with like a kit lens? Like, it's trash. Like, the effects are so garbage. I'm like, oh, this is trash. Like, you fooled me. Like, the cover looked official. Like, the cover looked like, oh, this is gonna be some shit. And then you go watch it's trash. I hate that.
Can be vice versa. I'll still too. Put it in my, like, it'll be a really bad folder. Looking. I'll put
it, it still goes on my mood board, though, you know.
You look like a big mood board guy.
Half the movies I watch, like, a lot of times it takes me like 5 hours to just watch like an hour and a half movie because I got to keep rewinding because I'm missing all the dialogue because I'm paying attention to the lighting. And I was like, ooh, okay, I see what they did there. And then I'll like screenshot it and I'll like pause it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to try that. And I was like, oh shoot, what's happening? I got to rewind it again. Like, it's crazy.
And then you get caught up.
But you notice with movies, like, they always have like that rim light. Every scene, no matter where they are, I'm like, how do you have a rim light? In like, you're in a car, you're in like an elevator, you're in like a dark room, but there's like a rim light behind you. Where is that light coming from?
They find, or even like nighttime scenes.
It's like nighttime. It's nighttime. I'm like, where's that top light coming from? That's not the moon. I can see the moon in the back. I see the moon.
Things that normal people don't think of. Just photographers.
Yeah. Or like in the car. Like, where's that blue light coming from on top of you in the car?
Yeah, we would go to trade shows, and I forget who, I think it was Rick Salmon. So Rick was a big on the trade show circuit, you know, a while back. And
Time out.
What's up?
Now, one of those books that I told you that I
was
went
Rick
and bought.
Salmon.
It was a Rick Salmon book.
Hell yeah.
It was a like studio lighting on location or something like that. And that was the book I was telling you about when I would see they would list all their gear. And it was like Rick Salmon and like friends or his students. And then you'd see like their photos. And yeah, it was Rick Salmon. Okay. Yeah.
Rick was he taught for Kelby. He's still teaching for Kelby, like on a smaller scale. And I know he's a musician, so he's also teaching now. How to play guitar. Like, he's been at Adorama. Adorama's extended to music, and he's been at Adorama teaching guitar lessons, which is crazy.
That's really cool.
You know, he's diversified. But anyways, so I'm sitting at dinner with Rick, and he's just looking around, and I'm like, God, he's not paying attention to this. He's so uninterested in what we're talking about. And I'm talking about, you know, the meaning of life, and Rick's like, you ever just look at light? Like, yep, I do. That's my job. And he's like, no, but like, I look at every light. Like, that's all my eyes see is light. Like, he's looking at, he's at Olive Garden and he's looking at like the style of light hanging over the table.
Huh.
And he's like, that's all he paid attention to. So like Darrell, you know, in the movies, but like, could you imagine some people in our industry are looking at that everywhere they look?
Yeah, that would drive me nuts, but I get it. I feel like, I mean, people that just, like, even graphic designers have said, like, they can tell on advertising and boards and, you know, if you're used to it, you're just drawn to it.
Totally.
It's like, oh, they use Canva.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So I was in Italy. This was, it was 10 years ago, 2012. So I'm in Italy. I was with my boy Patrick. We're both photographers and we're in Rome. So, you know, and at the time we had our DSLRs, we had a 70 to 200. So that joint was heavy. And we brought our cameras everywhere we go. So we went for brunch. So I said, you know what? You know, I was going to leave the camera. He's like, yeah, we're just literally going down the street and we're just going to head right back up. We don't need to bring the camera. We bring this camera the whole trip. And, you know, those things are heavy. So we said, let's just leave it. Go for brunch. And we're sitting in this alley. Because, you know, in Italy, like all the, you know, the patios are in like literal alleys, right? So we're sitting there. It's like high noon. You got like all this beautiful Italian architecture. And the sun, you know, we're these tall, tall buildings. And just the way the sun was coming through, we see these three older Italian men. Okay. They're dressed in suits and they weren't really like high fashion suits, but they were just like fitted, you know, maybe tailor-made suits, like real, you know, distinguished. And, you know, they had like salt and pepper hair and they just looked so, they were just so distinguished. It was just a shot. And me and Patrick sat there. We're just like, OMG. Like from where we were sitting and to where they were, I was like, I could literally pull out my 70 to 200 right now and get the craziest shot. Did not have our camera with us. And we were just looking at the lighting and I was like, dude, this lighting is perfect. There was Rembrandt lighting. There was rim lighting. There was all this stuff. And I'm looking at the background and I'm like, okay, 2.8 at 200. Yeah, that background is going to look like this. It was the greatest shot in my head. And because we did not want to lug our camera around, we missed the greatest shot. And the rest of that trip, that camera did not leave our side. Unfortunately, we did not see those gentlemen again. But yeah, it was just there. I'm like, I built the whole shot in my head.
Looked like
and
a movie
the only thing missing was the camera. Yeah, yeah.
The three Italian men coming July 2013.
Yeah.
You take your camera with you everywhere now?
Nah. Nah, I got the iPhone.
You're going to run into that situation again.
He says he has the iPhone, but hold on, hold on. The iPhone's not going to get that shot.
I got portrait mode, man.
Get out of here. Get out of here. That shit will back focus more than you know what to do with.
Yeah, so no, I don't bring my camera everywhere. If I'm on vacation, maybe. If I'm, you know, out of town, maybe. But like around town, nah, I ain't got time for that.
No.
They say the best camera you have is the one on you, right?
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. But now with the iPhones nowadays, the cameras nowadays, you can get some real crazy stuff with it. So even video too, the video is like nuts. The stabilization.
Yeah. It's just I haven't updated my lenses. iPhone in years.
Yeah. I'm like 3 years old, I think. So I'm in the same boat. I think the lenses, I mean, on a real camera, that's what blows, you know, lenses and lighting. Just that's photography though, right?
Yeah.
Lenses and lighting are what you would want to upgrade. I always wanted to do something. This would be a fun YouTube video. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Show an old like Canon Rebel 72, like what you had in 2012 using good light, and then show your newest camera using bad light and just see.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like see if lighting, show that lighting matters, because I'd imagine on an old like 2 to 4 megapixel camera, if you have great light and you can light for highlights and shadows, I imagine you can make a better image than somebody who has the latest and greatest mirrorless camera. Yeah, you can go to ISO 20 million or whatever, but it's just blah. I mean, there's nothing.
Yeah,
I don't know. What I was thinking of doing was,
yeah, so kind of the same idea you're saying, but I'm going to take someone who's not a photographer. And I was like, here, you take my camera, you take my lens, you take my lighting, and then I'll take like a Rebel with like a speed light or whatever, a kit lens, and then just see who takes a better shot. I think that would be cool.
I think you've got your content for July.
Yeah.
2 videos now coming July 2022.
Worst photographer I can think of.
Oh, gosh. Now when we see who it is in July, we'll know.
Maybe I'll get my mom. No, I love you, mom. I always joke on my mom. Like me and my cousin, like we always joke on my mom. Anytime she takes a picture, it's like we're literally at the bottom, and it's like all ceiling. And I was like, mom, can you get a picture of us? Like, thank you for a picture of the ceiling. No, and that's not rule thirds. Don't try to give me that rule.
Yeah, it's like the whole sky.
No, shout out to
my
mom.
Head in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure your mom's tuning into our podcast.
So I was golfing with my buddy a couple weeks ago, and there was this awesome rainbow. There's a double rainbow. And he was at the tee box, and I was like, Nate, I'll take this photo. Like, this is unreal. And it was like evening light, so he was perfectly lit, double rainbow in the back. So I got on the iPhone, and I did a little panoramic type thing. You know, and you have to be smooth. You have to follow the lines and go across. So I got this awesome shot of him swinging a club in a double rainbow in the back. And I go, all right, so here's yours. I said, take mine. I go, use the panoramic mode. Oh my God. Have you ever seen it where it's like, it's all chopped. It's black in some areas. It's like,
yeah,
it is the worst.
You mess up a panoramic on an iPhone.
Dude, I mean, he's a construction guy. Like, he
why are your
know.
Hands shaking so much?
He doesn't like. He still uses a phone for telephone calls, and he doesn't text. Like, we have a group text. He's like, guys, I don't really read that. I just show up at golf on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock, and
he's
you
in
know.
Construction. The panoramic has a level and an arrow. Like, he should be leveling. That's right up his alley.
His head needs some construction to figure this out, because it was. Terrible. But yeah, it's like there are people who just don't get it.
You're like, thanks, man. It looks great. Well,
and
you
now
did your
I bring
best.
It up. I go, remember when you made that? And I made one that you could literally hang in a basement. Like he just laughs. It's a great story, but yeah. Nate.
So Olivia, I know the listeners, they can't see, but I'm seeing a boo-boo on your knee.
Oh, yes. Yes, I got
that's a huge
stitches.
Band-aid. I was like,
man. Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah. When I went for Memorial Day weekend, I was in Alabama and somebody pushed me off a boat. So, what? Yeah, I got some stitches. Yeah.
There's a story behind this that I think Darrell and I would like to hear.
He was drunk.
Now, how did the stitches come into play?
Okay,
the water pierced your...
No, I actually... When he first pushed me off, I was fine. And then my friend pushed him off because he had pushed me. Then when I was getting back on the boat, he pulled me back and I sliced it on the platform.
Oh!
Yeah.
Yikes.
I let him hang out in the water for a bit while I was bleeding.
That sounds aggressive. Like, what kind of boat were you
Shark infested. I don't know what... It's like the middle... The center console where they... like fish off of them. I feel like all the boats down there. It wasn't a fishing boat, but like the center consoles, you probably have seen them. Like, I feel like everybody down south has those on the water.
Everybody in the south has a boat.
They do, but it's also the same center console. It's not like a Bayliner up here. That's funny you notice. I'm very accident prone. So.
Well, you don't have to hide it now.
Well, I'm like, how much of my leg is out?
Well, glad you're okay. That's the important thing.
Yes. No, just a fun story.
You can laugh about it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a good story.
That was fine. I didn't think I needed stitches, yeah. But I didn't want to get sand and have it get infected because I was on the beach and stuff. So, yep.
What do you else? You have anything else going on this summer?
This summer, no, I'm just trying to just create more content, just get out there. You know, I'm just trying to be outside more. You know, you can see me. I look kind of tanned, don't I? I've been taking advantage of this few hot weather that we have. And, you know, I see all my my white friends are out there tanning, so I just wanted to join the fun. So
you didn't notice I'm out there burning.
Bronze I am?
Yeah. You do look like you've been living in a tanning bed.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm just trying to, you know, I got a couple ideas, which I don't want to give away on camera or on audio yet. But
we've already given
two summer, away. You know. So what do you guys got going on this summer?
We have a couple visitors. Eli Infante is coming to town. He's going to do some work.
Eli!
Here. Yep. Matt Hernandez is also coming to town. He does...
Sports photographer.
Yeah, he's sports. He does high school seniors. He makes like... He could make a four-year-old group of Little Leaguers look like they're in the major leagues. I mean, that's nice. Like his specialty. So Matt's coming to town, and I'm sure we're going to do some traveling. It seems like every summer that's inevitable, and then show season starts in September. We'll be out at Portrait Masters out in Phoenix, and then there's a new show, which is kind of a transitioning show called Create NYC, which is formerly known as Photo Plus, down at the Javits Center in New York City. They're moving it across into Brooklyn, and it's going to be called Create NYC. So I think they're kind of moving, they're updating their show with the times, so it's not so much a photography exhibit where it's like a creators conference. And they're going to bring musicians and vloggers and just, you know, how things are going, right? I mean, things are no longer just static, create photographs. It's more, you know, just being a creator. So that's where we are going. And
awesome. Yeah.
So, Jarrell, for those that don't follow you currently, where can people find you?
You can find me in Toronto. That's where I'm at. But you can also find me online. You can find me on Instagram, Darrell Hoshing Portraits. Also Darrell Hoshing. So I got my wedding stuff there. You can find me on YouTube, Darrell Hoshing Photography. You can find me on Facebook. And I think I'm on Twitter. I don't really post much on Twitter, but whatever. You can go in there, find me on there. Yeah, that's where I'm at online. And yeah, man, that's... That's what's up, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You'll pop up at a workshop or two next year, I'm sure. Come on down to the States.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, hopefully people
borders are open, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trump's not in office anymore, so I can sneak through.
and the COVID boogeyman is hiding for now, so you can sneak through
exactly,
in and out of Canada freely. So, good stuff. Well, thanks for joining us, Darrell. Until next week, we'll see y'all later.